over the last few weeks, I've brought out distinctions, differences in Israel, and on Wednesday nights, distinctions for Judaism and distinctions for Christianity. And I have probably had more phone calls and more comments in the last 2 weeks about that, that, you know, I feel like I need to continue to do it. And so I'm going to touch on some things this morning of distinctions. Sometimes it's just good to stop and back up and think about what is good for the body, because some of the comments I've heard of people that have gone here for or have been a part of us for 4 years said, "Man, I've forgotten all about this stuff." And some people that are new here are saying, "This helps me understand." So I thought, you know, if it's good to see this and to teach us, because the most important thing we can do, whether we're here, whether we're somewhere else or whatever, is when you're not here, is to have the ability to defend the gospel. If you can't defend it, then you need to make sure you know what you believe. I mean, defending the gospel is the issue of being a minister of reconciliation. Because defending the gospel, dealing with the ministry of reconciliation, deals with those things that we trust that Christ did. And 6-7 years ago wasn't the issue. I trusted in things that Christ did, but I also trusted in a lot of things that I did. And so our gospel is very different. I had a comment this past week. Somebody visited another church that is typically here, and they made the comment that it wasn't that different. And I said, "Well, cool. Share with me what all went on." And I mean, it was night and day. Just night and day different. And the issue is they do not take time to defend the gospel because they don't know the gospel. To not know the gospel is to not know the good news. To not know the good news, you have nothing to rejoice in but to rejoice in things that aren't true. Wouldn't it be awful to go through life and to rejoice in those things that you put your hope in and there's no hope in it? That's awful. Wouldn't it be awful to go through your whole life? I think about my dad at 81 years old. 6-7 years ago, he can actually say he went through over 70 years of his life rejoicing in the things that aren't true. That's awful. You know, and it should frustrate you to the fact that regardless what you lose, if one gets it, think about what you've gained. And I think that's, as a body of believers, I think that's where we fail sometimes, because we get so caught up in not being popular that we forget the joy when one person's life changes. And it should be worth it. Let's face it. We feel like when we go through our day every day, we make plans through the year, for the next couple of years. We talk about things we would like to do in the future. We talk about where we're going to eat lunch tomorrow, where we're going to... I mean, we are accustomed to being that kind of person. A lot of it's because we're so busy we had to plan it that way. Well, let's face it, it doesn't compare to eternity. There's no... You cannot compare what you do on a daily basis to your eternity. And so those are things that we need to put in front of us that I think we fail at. So, over the last few weeks, here on Wednesday night, we've talked about... Man, somebody cleaned this board. It is awesome. I'm probably spelling this wrong as I can be, but that's okay too. I don't really care. Y'all already made fun of my spelling before, so I'm past that part. We talked about the difference in Judaism and Christianity on Wednesday nights, and I appreciate the comments that have come and things like that. So we're going to touch on a little bit more, and I just want you to see some distinct differences in... Did I spell it wrong? I did. Now it is bothering me. My gosh.
All right. I was trying to take notes and just keep it open.
It's going to drive Anna crazy.
Oh, that shit.
See, that makes me smile. Hey, it's him. There we go. Is that better?
Yeah.
We good, Anna? Is the M okay the way it sounds? Stop it. Alright, back to serious mode. No. Anyway, we've talked about a couple of things that maybe y'all missed through here. You got to get that up. It's going to make me crazy. We talked about accountability. The fact in Judaism, the priest gave an account for you. In times past, that's what the priest did. He gave an account for you. Today, everybody gives an account of their own. There's a difference. We talked about a couple of Wednesdays ago the issue that in times past it was 12 apostles. Today it's one. Okay, we know it was Paul. We talked about the apostles that were called in times past were called while Christ was on the earth, right? After Jesus ascended into heaven, there was one called, and that was Paul. We talked about the leaders. In times past, it was Peter. Today, it's Paul. He was given the revelation of the mystery. In times past, baptism was a water baptism. Today, it's spirit baptism. We talked about in times past that believers were zealous for the law. Their focus the whole time was, as long as we do the law, then we're okay. And today it's not about the law. In fact, we are delivered from the law. In times past, we talked about Wednesday night about believers, when they see Jesus, he talks about how when he comes to earth, that one will be taken and the other one left. I always grew up thinking, well, that's the rapture, the one that's taken. Well, as a matter of fact, the one that's taken is going to judgment. There's his death. The one that's here is here with the king, setting the kingdom up. And of course, we will be caught up in the air. Okay? We talked about blessings, about there are physical blessings in times past, and today our blessings are in heavenly places, our spiritual blessings. Then we talked about, that I love more than anything else to talk about last week, is that there was a ransom for many. If you look at Matthew, Romans, Hebrews, and Mark, it talks about, Paul talks about many in Romans. In the other chapters, it always talks about many. Well, in Paul's epistles, when he's speaking to those of the Gentiles, in 1 Timothy and in Romans, after he talks about the Jews, how it was for them, and now how it is today for us, it's a ransom for what? For all. And there's distinct differences in Judaism and in Christianity. Go to Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse 44 and 45. In Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to take my time because I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 44 and 45. They're in the red letters, so Jesus said it like he didn't say those letters that weren't red. That's crazy. But man, that was serious to me when I was young. It was like, oh, those are the red letters. I mean, was I the only one like that? I mean, you know, that's how it was. There's even songs that were written, follow the red letters. Well, it's not good. Follow it all. Verse 44. Christ says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. I remember when I worked on sharing a lot of false humility, I would really try to make this work for me. It was really hard to love your enemies. I mean, let's face it, it's a pain to do that. And I would always use this verse when somebody else hated their enemies. I would take them to this verse the whole time knowing they still hated that person. Okay? I mean, they would. But the issue that I want to touch on is the fact that it says, for if ye love them. Do you see the condition? Y'all see the condition? This is something that wasn't just, let's hope it's okay. You had to do it. If ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And he talks about keep loving your enemies and doing all this. Okay? But also in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father. So, in saying that, the children of God, what? In times past, love their enemies. In Judaism, you learned how to love your enemies. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 6. chapter 6. And look at verse 35. 6:35. In verse 35 it says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Okay, so we see that. Well, children of God was by loving their enemies, right? We'll go to Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 26 at what Paul says. No, he doesn't say hate your enemies, so don't go there. We know the children of God, what they have to do, they have to love their enemies. Right? In Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You see the difference? There's not an issue of loving your enemies. It's the fact that we're all. Why? Because of what Christ Jesus did. The issue isn't a condition that you have to meet. The issue is that because of what Christ Jesus did and trusting in what He did, you are the child. You are a child of God. Right? And it's through what? Faith in Jesus. Okay? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And go to verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So what's the issue? Do you see the difference? Faith in Jesus. There's no difference in Christianity today. It's not the fact of something that you've got to do. It's the fact of what's already been done. And you put your faith in that. Right? You trust in that. You hope in that. Right? So we see a difference right there as being children of God, how you were children of God. Let's look at Christ's ministry and the difference, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to look at the difference in Judaism with Christ's ministry and also in Christ's ministry under Christianity. In Matthew chapter 5, and look at verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So in Christ's ministry on earth, what did He come to do? To fulfill the law, right? That was His ministry, to fulfill the law. All right? Go to chapter 15. And look at verse 17. I may have read the wrong scripture down here. 15:24. Glad I found it. Look at verse 24. "But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the... I am not sent but..." That means only. Right? The only thing I'm sent to, okay, "unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So we know that Christ's ministry, while on earth, had to be under Judaism because He was sent to fulfill the law, and He was also sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? There were many that were not counted as sheep. There were many that were not counted under the house of Israel. Go to John chapter 4. John 4 and verse 22. In John 4, verse 22, he says, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is what? Of the Jews." Now you're going to tell me today that these guys tell you, well, we follow the red letters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because that's what most of your churches do today. And the salvation was unto the Jews. Well, I would have a problem with that if I studied that enough. Wouldn't you? That means it wasn't to you. So Christ's ministry under Judaism was what? To fulfill the law, right? To go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and for salvation to be unto the Jews. That was his ministry, right? You won't find anywhere in there that it was towards anybody else. Now, go to Acts and look at chapter 9. And go to verse 4. Acts 9:4. And we've seen the message that was given to the Apostle Paul. Now, Christ's ministry, you're going to see, was to Paul. And Paul was the minister to the Gentiles. And in chapter 9, verse 4, you see what happened. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Well, Christ's earthly ministry of Judaism was to who? It's to Israel. Christ's ministry after Judaism to Christianity was to who? It was Paul. He doesn't speak to anybody else except through Paul. And that's why Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Go to the same letter, chapter 20, and go to verse 24. Go to 20:24. Matthew 20:24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the good news, the gospel of the grace of God." Well, what's the gospel of the grace of God? That Christ died on the cross, and that we trust in what He did, that He forgave us of our sins. So, isn't it interesting? Paul never mentions the 12. He never mentions to the Jews only. He mentions to the Jews and to the Greeks. Right? He never mentions, but he does mention that it is his ministry, not called by any man, but by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a ministry for Judaism, and he had a ministry in Christianity. Under Judaism, it was to the Jews, because what were they going to do? They are going to become a light unto the world. Right? They're going to minister. Right? In the times of refreshing, they will go out into the world and bring Gentiles in. But under Christianity, the message was given to Paul, the dispensation of grace, to go out into the world, not for many, but for all. There's a difference. Tell you what, go to chapter 22. Chapter 22 and look at verse 11. In Acts 22:11, Paul says, "And when I could not see for the glory of that light," he was talking about what we read in 9:4, "the glory of that light, and were afraid," I'm sorry, the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one, Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Notice what he says. Who was Ananias? He was a man from where? From the law, right? He even mentioned the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Ananias knew the truth. He says, Chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Paul never received the message from any of the other 12, but from Jesus Christ alone. He didn't receive it from Ananias. Ananias was just the messenger to tell Paul, you're going to receive it from just one. So Christ's ministry under Christianity was only to Paul. Christ's ministry under Judaism was to all the Jews, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? Look at chapter 26 and verse 16. Paul here is given what happened. He's testifying, right? And he's saying what happened to him back in Acts chapter 9. And he says in verse 16 in chapter 26, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, not y'all, or to the lost sheep, but I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. It's pretty clear, isn't it? The difference. Go to Galatians chapter 1. The reason I'm doing this is what I hear more than anything else. You make so much of Paul. Paul, Paul, Paul. Let me tell you what. If you don't follow Paul, you're going to follow Moses. It's one or the other. I said, well, we follow it all. Well, if you do that, you're even more messed up. You can't. There's too many things that are different. In Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't you think for a minute that if Paul grasped what those that Christ came to minister to under Judaism, if Paul grasped those that happened to the 12, and by the way, Paul knew about it. He was well learned and he knew the history and he was killing people for the issue of them claiming that Jesus was the Christ before Acts 9. Right? Don't you think if Paul grasped that truth, that these men would have centered around him to teach him their ways so that they could come together? Paul is clearly, totally setting himself apart from them, that if you go to Acts chapter 15, you can see them going against each other in the arguments of what the ministry was. And if you read about it in Galatians 2, he'll talk to these Galatians about, don't you get it? You did get it, and now you're following another gospel which was dealing with the other 12. Paul says, I didn't receive it from them, and I'm the minister of the Gentiles. Christ sent me to you. And he separates those two gospels. And so we see that if you study Galatians. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Say what, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Y'all with me? Alright. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest. That means that it has spreading. Okay? But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So we see, I'm not saying that Christ doesn't show us all, that He didn't come to all, but the way that He came to all of us was through Paul. In Judaism, the way that He came to anybody was through Israel. You can be a Gentile and have fear of God, which Cornelius did, which the eunuch did, which the lady did that says, you even give crumbs to the dogs. I mean, there are time after time when Israel left Egypt and became Israel. There were many that left Egypt with them and became that as Israel. But how did they do it? They had to go through Israel to receive that ministry. Well, the only way that you can receive Christianity is through Paul. Through those things that Christ gave to him, because He only gave it to Paul, the revelation of the mystery. He only gave to Paul the dispensation of the grace of God. He only gave to Paul those things. And that's why you hear him say, I, me. But he always follows it about the foundation, which was Christ. He always follows it by the ministry, which was Christ. I mean, he always follows it in Romans. He talks about his office. It wasn't his foundation, it was his office. So let me tell you something. You can tell me that people are saved through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'll tell you, they are wrong. I don't care what all they know. If you do not understand the fact that the good news was the gospel of the grace of Christ, and there's many that will teach the gospel of the grace of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I believe that there are many that have been saved by hearing the gospel of the grace of Christ. But the preacher that shared it out of context. And so they become very ignorant, and then they pick up those things that were of old that should have been passed away. And they don't realize that they're a new creation. They don't realize they're a new creature. They don't realize the only reason they have the news at all is from Paul and not from those 12. Well, I think it's time that we're able to show distinctions in Judaism and Christianity. And we need to see those things. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. Pretty clear. The Apostle Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto us, unto me, the mystery. Well, if it was a mystery, then that means nobody else could have known it, right? It's not a mystery if somebody else knows it. If I tell you a secret, it can remain a mystery until you tell somebody else, right? But it wasn't me. He says it was a mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Go to Titus chapter 1. There is scripture after scripture of Paul proclaiming Christ's ministry. There's not just a few instances. There is an instance one after the other. Titus chapter 1 and verse 3. This word keeps popping up that we don't use enough. Titus 1, 3. But hath, we talked about that this morning. Hank brought up, that means it's been done. Hath, it's taken care of. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. I love the way Paul does it. You can make much of me all you want, but I told you it was to me, and what it was according to, it wasn't according to me. I didn't plan it. It was a mystery. But it's been manifested to me, the preaching of the gospel, according to the commandment of God. And so it was preordained. It was done before we ever knew it could be done. Why? It was a mystery that nobody knew until it was given to Paul. So, Christ's ministry in Christianity was to Paul. Christ's ministry in Judaism was to the Jews that flock. Those that believed Jesus was the Christ. Not the Jews that did not believe, but the Jews that believed. That flock. And in the times of refreshing, that flock and those 12 will sit on those 12 thrones judging the nations. That's what will happen. So we see that Christ's ministry was clearly, clearly different. I'm going to take you to one other spot because the time's getting late. This is probably my favorite thing to notice in Old Testament times, how that although it was a mystery, God still showed areas to where we can say, wow, look how the Word is all profitable, right? Like some of them don't read the Old Testament, don't they? No. You can see the things that were coming through what Christ did in times past. So all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture. Okay? Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 13. This will be the last thing we'll look at today. Genesis 13. I tell you, one of my favorite studies that I did when we first came here was going through Genesis on Wednesday night. I think I learned more and more as I went through it, and it just saw God's grace all the way in it. It was amazing. If you ever get time to just study Genesis, it is an unbelievable book because there's so many truths there. But in Genesis chapter 13, notice the connection to Abraham through Judaism and through Christianity. Okay, notice what would you call an earthly, with Judaism, everything was earthly. With Christianity, everything was heavenly, even in Genesis. Okay, look at chapter 13, look at verse 16. Notice what he is talking about here. Here he is talking about Israel and the promises that are made. And he says, "And I will make thy seed as what? The dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, everything's talking about the things of the earth, right? And what did Abraham do? He did something what? Physical, didn't he? He built an altar. He did those things that he was commanded to do. He did those statutes that God had set him to do to make memory of these promises of the things of the earth that would be for Israel, right? Now go with me in the same book in chapter 15. And I want you to look at verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." Now first we saw in chapter 13 the promises to Israel that was the dust of the earth. He tells Abraham here to look at the stars in heaven. Okay? Let's go on. He says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Ain't no altar built, is there? He don't start doing a bunch of works, does he? What did Abraham do? He believed. It was counted to him for righteousness. If you go on and read chapter 13, you'll see the works, the dust of the earth, the things of the earth. If you read chapter 15, you'll notice this seed, this deals with us today that Paul will talk about in Galatians of the things of the heavens. There's a difference even. There's a mystery that was going to be revealed. And Abraham is the father of us, and he's also the father of Israel. He gives the picture to Israel, the dust of the earth. He gives a picture of us, the stars in heaven. Israel's work, 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 work. Us is believe. Believe, believe, believe. There's a difference. So, even the progeny to those things of Judaism and those things of Christianity, we know for a fact that when it came to Abraham over here, it always dealt with earthly things. When it came over here, it always dealt, even with Abraham, he mentioned heavenly things. This word is so absolute perfect. And if we don't learn how to defend it, then people will not see the truth. They won't. And so we have a responsibility. A huge responsibility. It don't matter if there's one of us, you're by yourself at work. It doesn't matter if there's two of us. It doesn't matter. The issue is you have a responsibility. You know the difference. The thing that kills me more than anything is these people, the people that know the truth. It's not those that don't know the truth. It's those that know the truth and plan to be ignorant towards others. That's pathetic. And we ought to be ashamed. That's what 1 Timothy talks about. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about, I mean. Not being ashamed of the gospel. We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should be excited about it.